daughter's always in motion, always doing something to be a blessing to his heritage, his people. If Jesus died for us to save us from all of our wicked sins, he did it because the Father loves us and Jesus loves us enough to come and go through everything he did. Not only in his human lifetime, but he was, the enemy tried to stop the promise of Christ coming in the first place, and he couldn't do it. Now he wants to start a war when he returns, and that won't work either. But God loves us. He loved us enough to stay the course from the time, from the foundations of the earth. One scripture in the New Testament said, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So God is highly motivated to work on our behalf. We have to do our part and believe him. Now, once we believe him for salvation, we move on and grow in the things of God so that we can be productive. We're not trying to be productive for salvation. Jesus did all the works that will ever be done for salvation and for healing. All of our salvation is based on his works. All of our healing is based on his works. We just receive salvation. We don't earn it. We don't qualify for it. We receive salvation. And that's got to be understood. We receive salvation. It's offered by God to all men. We receive it. So once we receive it, we work the works of God. We fight the good fight. We don't let the enemy stop us from spreading the good news. The first witness is the way we live. The second witness, my friend, is our testimony. When you tell people what God has done in your life personally and how he saved you, how he blessed you, how he kept you out of danger, your testimony is the second witness. And the third witness is actually preaching, ministry, singing, exhorting people, passing out tracts. That's the third witness. The first one is how you live. And a lot of people put the ministry first, but ministry is a byproduct of the faith you live. All ministry is a byproduct of the faith that you're actually living. And also, by the anointing, we can do things beyond our abilities, because the anointing is a sanction that's given to a man or woman, which denotes maturity, not gender, but maturity. And it's not limited to age. So you can be a spiritual man at the age of 5. You can be a spiritual man at the age of 12. If you love God and you're dedicated, God can anoint you to do things. Once he trusts you with an anointing, it's because you've earned his trust. Now, so it's a sanction given to a man or woman to perform and finish a specific task. Now, that's the power of the anointing. I got a friend. See, little children, their spirits are lit. And he had, I think it was back pain. And he was laying on the couch and he was in pain. And his little girl, about 3 years old, walked over to him. She did what she saw the people do in church. And she laid hands on him, asking God to heal her daddy. And the pain was gone immediately. So, the Lord is working. And when he anoint people that's mature. It gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, with that being said, I'm pointing out how the Lord is moving by his Spirit. In all of our lives, everything that happens that's of God is designed to help you come to a point where God can use you in life. Some people want to run the other way because they're afraid. They're used to what they know. But I'm going to tell you something. If you trust God, you will be much, much more faithful. You will be exponentially more faithful if you trust him, if you learn to trust him. And if you keep him first, see, the financial plan, the perfect financial plan is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all things will be added. Seeking first the kingdom gives you vision. Seeking his righteousness gives you foundation and stability. And then God can pour, you know, in John, second John, he exhorted the people saying, I pray that you will prosper as your soul prospers. See, they were prospering within. If you prosper within, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're purifying your heart. You're purifying the thought processes of your mind. You're purifying your actions, your body. Now God can pour blessings on you, and you won't drown in the blessings. Your focus won't change. You'll continue to seek God. And all of the assets, blessings, and treasures that you accumulate, because they're added, they're not multiplied like the TV preachers say. And the reason I say TV preachers is because people take one aspect of life and they try to exploit it for their own gain. And that's very, very dangerous. Now, all TV preachers are not that way, but the ones that are that way, they need to repent. The Lord never used the word multiply for assets and blessings. He used the word add, and we need to stick with that because, God gives you opportunities to excel all the time, but you have to follow his path. And he can prosper you all at once, but most of the time when that happens, it's so that you can do the work you got to do. I've heard many testimonies where God opened doors for people. They sold houses that were virtually unsellable. But because God needed them to be moved in another city, he arranged for somebody to buy their house at top value. And then they move to another city and buy a house that they can afford, that they like. And then God will, you know, different ministries. See, the anointing gives you God's ability to do a thing. It's not yours. So if you prosper all at once, it's probably to do God's work. God is not he don't just make people millionaires because they wish they was. He blessed people for a purpose. And he blessed ministries with what they need. And sometimes, you know, the vision of God may have them on television every day, all day. Well, they need a lot of money. And there are avenues for them to get it, and it's by faith. But when you're anointed, you can do that. But an everyday man, even the person that's receiving money to do great works, he still got to believe God for his personal life. The just shall live by his faith. I can't say the anointing helps us come to a point where we can live by faith. At the end of the day, no matter what happens to you, there are men of God. The anointing was so strong on their life, they heal the sick of all kind of conditions. But the anointing is for ministry. They have to believe God for their own healing, just like everybody else. And I remember listening to Benny Hinn one time, and the Lord was mightily using him. People can say what they want about Benny Hinn, but Benny Hinn, I believe, is a very godly man, and he loves God. And I'm used to seeing God work miracles through people. You got to understand something. People that are anointed, they're also under attack. Satan is trying to, they're under attack. They're actually attacked. And if they take their position in Christ, they're over the attack. But the enemy battles people like Benny Hinn and like anybody that loves and follows God. If he tried to battle Jesus, he's going to try to battle his servants also. And I say this because that's what Jesus said. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they love me, they'll love you. And that it's the same way. Those that love God will love you and receive you. Those that hate God will hate you and not receive you. It's easy to understand. And there are fault finders. There are people that's trying to bring them down. Not only the world, but also Christians that's deceived by the devil. So it's not good to go and judge a man's, you can't judge a man's heart. Only God can do that. Even angels can't do it. See, angels didn't even, they couldn't, they knew that, there were tares among the wheat. But if they try to remove the tares all at once, they'll disturb the wheat too. The Lord said, let them grow together. Only God knows his. And if you, before you give people 100% trust, you gotta go to God first. You can't just afford to trust people because you like them and because they did something fantastic. I trust who God trusts. I trust God. Now, Jeremiah's the one that said, cursed is he who trusts man. Now, people that are born again and living their life, if God trusts them, I trust them. I trust people to a certain point. Though I love all people and I'm for them and I care about them. But if a person has deception somewhere, the enemy will use it against you and them. If they have false concepts, that can cause them to do things that will hinder you. And they don't mean any harm, and I don't cast any blame. But it is what it is. But God is infallible, man is fallible. Even people that are anointed, they can do some godlike things. They can do great things for God. But we Paul put it this way, we know in part. If we know in part, we can serve God and do something flawless over here and not so much over there. But God is still working with all of us. Remember, Jesus is also our high priest. So when I look at people at the handiwork of God on a man's life, I thank God for doing that, for giving him the anointing or her the anointing. I thank God for the works that he's doing. I pray for that person. And my pastor even said, pray that my faith fail not. So pray that my faith fail not. We need each other. If I, you know, the flaws that you see in me, ask the Lord to give me wisdom for it. It's important. We're here to do a work. We come out of darkness. But God is using us because of the blood. But see, when the area of life where you're anointed, you have God's ability. That's not something that you deserve. That's not something that you came up with. That's not even something you grew into. But because you love God and you seek first the kingdom of God and you seek him, the anointing, the more you love God and operate according to his perfect will, the more anointing he'll put on you. And you'll find yourself doing things, even with the anointing, you used to couldn't do. I call that advancements of the anointing. If you keep on being faithful, the anointing will increase on you. When that happens, you may be saying the same message, but because of the anointing, it will break yokes that you used to didn't break with the anointing. See, God's ability is increasable the more you learn and grow and receive his knowledge. If as you receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the anointing grows stronger on your life. When Saul broke covenant with God, he made good judgments up until that point. And after that, he started making decelerated judgments to the point that he had, how many was it? 60, I think it was 80 priests killed. And Doeg did it for him. I can't remember I don't quite remember. I think it was 80 priests he had killed, or 60. And looking for David, because they helped David, he murdered those priests that were much more righteous than he was. See, when you break covenant, then you can't go by what the anointing used to do. You can't even go by what the anointing is doing currently. Sometimes people are out of fellowship with God, but their anointing still works. Because Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. He'll turn to them and say, I never knew you. Because they turn their heart, they turn their shoulder. Because they turn their heart, they turn their shoulder, and their works went wicked. And they approved themselves. when the Holy Spirit tried to get them to repent, they wouldn't do it. And they believed the lie that they were good with God. And they know that they are breaking covenant. They're doing things that shouldn't be done. And they're excusing themselves. They're not repenting. And their ways are wicked. Whatever they did before, it'll be forgotten. The anointing will still work in hopes that they'll repent. And some do, some don't. You can't just go by what's working. You have to have fellowship with God. Follow the peace. And this is not to cause anybody to doubt their salvation. Your salvation is based on the blood. If you live according to the love of God, you don't want to do the evil things. If you know that there's something that shouldn't be in your life, you want it gone. Now, I tell people all the time, if you want to drive something out of your life, do not use your own strength. Use His. If something of the enemy is attractive to you, you're tempted to take a little off the top or keep an ink pen, for instance, anything. We should live according to the love of God, which is the highest form of integrity. Many men excuse themselves to look at women the wrong way. You have to do something about it. You know it's not right. Go to the Lord and say, I love what the Ugandan pastor did for us. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in the Ugandan. Every Christian man and woman, boy and girl, need to listen to the Ugandan pastor. Because so many people are living an out-of-bound life. And he was doing things that a lot of people I know are doing. People I love and care. The Lord said, if I came to get my bride, I would have left you. Now you have to watch it. He tried to repent. He said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. And the Lord said, it's not just a sin, it's your ways. And when he gave the scripture, it took me back to Jeremiah chapter, I think it's 1 or 2, what people were doing. Men were, they were doing things wrong, and it didn't even embarrass them anymore. And he talked about how he would imagine women undressed. He didn't check the things that were wrong. He didn't deal with it. And if you watch TV, in about 15 minutes of watching TV, you're going to see a half-dressed woman or two women or two men or something just wrong. I'm not talking about the shows yet. I'm talking about the commercials and the shows. But the commercials and, you know, people trying to sell products. And the world, there's no rules to the world. They don't care. And in other countries, I heard the commercials are rated X. They have naked people on TV. And this is not, you know, the enemy is playing for keep. He wants to destroy people. You can't win against him if you adopt some of his ways. Or even just one of his ways. You have to drive him out of your life. And that's why you don't use your strength. You fill your heart with the word and say, Lord, this is bothering me. I need the master to show me how to do it. If you do it in your strength, you're going to fail. If you just try not to do it, that's good to try not to do it. And you should try not to do it. But the way it's going to really work, you're going to have to go and say, Lord, I want this problem destroyed in my life. And I don't want to see things the wrong way. I don't want to kill, steal, or destroy. I want to be like Jesus. Go about doing good, honoring God, living a life of worship. I said, Lord, I want every part of my life to be worship. Everything that's of Satan, it's got to go. And I started doing that, and a lot of things changed. it's like shows that just used to make me mad when I watch it and I see something derogatory or something that's just debaucherous. I hate it now. I don't just not like it, I hate it. And I say it many times, if you want to solve the problem of lust, if you love people like God does, you cannot lust after them. And the more I say that, the more when I see people, I see a soul, not a body. I see a soul, a person that God loves, not an object. Now, a lot of people say, well, how is that possible? All I can tell you, the principle. Now, the Lord taught me that. Because when I was greatly tempted back in the, I talk about it so many times, about in 88 and 89. That was the year I got called to the ministry in 87. It was 87 and 88 that I went through that temptation storm. And it was about 6 or maybe 8 months before I learned what to do. I kept after God about it. And that's one thing you have to do. Some things you're not just going to learn in one day. You have to keep after God until you finish the whole process. Now, everything the Lord taught me, I did it. And he did it systematically. And I'm giving you a shortcut. At the end of the day, with keeping utilizing the scriptures that are written in the Word of God, I stood on that for that. I was faithful with what I had first, and I was very motivated. But he told me, he said he gave me a vision of a situation, and he said you handle it the same way. In other words, he had taught me how to love people, and I practice loving people. So when I was tempted, just like I was tempted to be upset in a situation, I forgave it and I walk in love. He said, you handle it the same way. And I didn't have the concepts I got now. But what he was telling me was, just like you love people that's upset with you and you don't deviate, love people that's trying to tempt you. And that's all. And it worked. But I still felt tempted. I said, now that sounds like a contradiction, but just bear with me. It worked, but I still felt tempted. I said, Lord, there's something else wrong that I don't know what it is. And then he said, don't fear falling. See, loving people, loving women, because it was women that was trying to tempt me, loving them, their soul, loving them for as a person, not an object, not lusting after them because of how they look or act or whatever. Loving their soul. You can't love them and lust after them at the same. It's impossible to do. I saw them different, and I prayed to see them different. I want my sisters, Joan, Gail, and Kay. I said, I want all women to be like Joan, Gail, and Kay. Now, how do I do it? Well, he did it. You choose to love them. Just like when you have faith in God about something, and you're standing on a promise, you chose to have faith. And if you get the promise, you chose to have faith and doubt not in your heart. In your heart. And feed your heart so that you have the faith. So I chose to love them. Like I was in obedience. That was my act of obedience, and it works. But I didn't do anything about the fear problem. I did fear that I would one day fall. I feared the situations. Then I knew what to do when the Lord said, don't fear falling. I said, Satan, I got you now. and I'm going to tell you, it worked far beyond my expectations. Everything I just talked about is spiritual. You may have a hard time with it mentally. I totally understand. But so that's why you don't just take my word for it. Go ask the Lord. Lord, is he right about this? And if you see what I'm saying and you see that it'll work, just practice it. But always with different people. People have different things that make them tick. Different things you know, you may have a strength somewhere in you that I didn't have. Or your the way you see things may be worse than what I see. You know, I don't know. And it doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with God. God can show you whatever it is you need to know for you to master the same situation or an even worse situation than what I had. See, God's got the wisdom now. And he's always working. He's always, he will show you. He can't wait to show you the things that you desire to know. But he has to teach you at your pace. And he has to teach you in a way where you won't get in pride. So choose not to get in pride over anything. Whatever happens, no matter how over the top it is, if God anoints you and things go over the top and it's far beyond your expectations and people clap and they rejoice every time you come around and start talking, don't look at them. Look at Jesus. You have to look at what, keep looking at Jesus and let people know that it was him. I'm just a vessel. And I, you know, I found out something about people. Everybody can do this. Everybody that wants to can do the things, can have a relationship with God and do great things. That's just over the top. Jesus said, he that believe, one man that believes will do greater works than me. So he set us up to do greater things than he did. And everything he did was over the top. We need to carry the torch, the Holy Ghost torch, to every generation and everybody we know in the wisdom of God. Don't sit on it. Don't hide your light under a bush. Well, nobody in our day would do something like that. But see, back in those days, you know, that's the reason Jesus put it that way. Because he used situations that people actually did. In other words, when people are saying, you know, cross-course jokes that's just wrong, don't be a part of the, don't laugh at that. Don't entertain things that you know. Don't compromise what he's saying. Live the light. Do what's right and stand for it. Stand for what's right. When people are sinning and all around, and just don't do it. And they're going to ask you to join in. I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. And when they say derogatory remarks against women, you know, the guys in the shop, you know, they would say coarse jokes against women or something lewd to see my reaction. And they know I love them and I care about them. They're my friends. But when they do it, I just turn around and walk off. And then sometimes they'll do something just to see what I'm going to do. Or just to show somebody what I'm going to do. And every time they did something crazy like that, I turned around and walked off. Testimony. In other words, that's not the way to do things. Now, God delivered me from something evil. I felt delivered. I felt like he opened the cage and let me out. I'm not going back to it for nobody. And you don't have to compromise just to keep a friend. Either, I'm gonna put it this way: either people are gonna love God or they are not. Even people that are lukewarm, they made that choice. They have a love for God, or they know what's right, but they got this secret love for the world over here. So, what happens to a person that's lukewarm? Their allegiance becomes divided. And they're not the same. They don't seek after God. They compromise with something. And people are lukewarm for different reasons. Now, we covered that, I think, in the broadcast we did earlier in the year. And you just have to listen to all of them. Because I don't number them now. They do it by name. But earlier this year, I talked about, it was just a few weeks ago, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I talked about how people are lukewarm for various reasons. But this is what I'm going to say to bring it all home. Love God, because God, and seek Him only, no matter whether things look good or bad, over the top or under the zero line. Look to the Lord in all things. Look to the Lord and do what He say do. Follow the peace. And that gives God a chance to show Himself strong in your behalf. Stick with the process. Follow the peace. If things don't go the way you thought, don't worry about it. It's gonna get better. Follow the peace. Do what God is showing you, and stay with it in the whole duration. And it's going to be all right. You're going to learn so much as you obey Him. You can't learn what you learn. You can't learn the things you learn in obedience that you can't learn that in disobedience. Only in obedience you're going to learn things that stick. So follow Him and live in His strength. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory and enjoy the victory.